As we get started, what I want to do real quick is open us up in prayer. But before you do that, I want to just tell you how this all even came about. This is something God has had in mind, and he has orchestrated this. And this is our first one. Some people have already said, are we going to make this an annual thing? Let's see how this one goes. We'd love it. We would love it. But let me just tell you how this came about. My wife and I hit 20 years of marriage this summer. And I wanted to go on a cruise with her. I took her for a cruise for her 40th birthday a lot of years ago. actually, it wasn't that long ago. It was only 1.5 years ago. She's back there saying 1.5. So she's still young enough to give half ages. How about that? You know. So about 1.5 years ago, I surprised her with a cruise for her 40th, and it was our first one. And the weather was horrible. Her birthday's in February. The seas were bad. We couldn't stop at the private island. We had reserved an excursion to go snorkeling. Couldn't do it. Everything fell apart weather-wise. You couldn't use the pools or the jacuzzis. It was so cold. We were in Nassau, and if you've ever been to the straw market in Nassau, they didn't want to sell you anything because they would have to get out from under their blankets and earmuffs. It was bad. But we had such a blast on that cruise, even though the weather was bad, that we said, man, we'd like to try that again sometime. Well, our kids, of course, said, if you ever go on another cruise, we're going with you. So we then said, okay, that's going to cost a little bit of money. And so we started to pray. And we literally started to pray 2 days after we started praying. Debbie McVicker walks up to me. I had heard that she had been on a cruise. And I asked her if she could give us a name of somebody who could help us find a good price. And she said, are you thinking about going on a cruise? And I said, yeah. She said, that's interesting. I said, why is that? She said, well, me and some other people have been talking. We just came back from a Bible cruise. And we thought that you need to be doing this. So you saying you want to go on a cruise? Would you be interested in teaching on a cruise ship? I said, yeah. She said, it wouldn't bother you that you'd be working on your cruise? I said, that's not work for me. That'd be a blast. She said, well, then we'll set it up. And a week later, she came back and she said, here it is. It's going to be on Norwegian Cruise Line. Here the week it's going to be. Boom, 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 boom. And we are now here part of something that God orchestrated. And I'm excited about it. I really am. We're excited to see you all here. I'm excited, too. I hope you do wear your name tags so everybody gets to know each other, and this is just going to be a neat time. Please, as you're around the ship this week, invite people. Tell them what's going on. Grab some extra cards from the posters and pass out the times of when we're going to be meeting. The setting, by the way, for tonight you're seeing is going to be really nice. This is a little bit kind of snug. Not bad a setting, though, looking out at the ocean here. But tonight we're going to be in the Stardust Lounge on the main floor right in the center. It's beautiful. Wonderful setup. And so we're going to be there. And the mornings will be here and the evenings will be there. And we're just excited about what God is going to do this week. Now, I'll also introduce your worship leader for this week. His name is Mitch Barnes. He's back here. He's a friend of mine, has been for many, many years. I actually worked with Mitch when I was pastor in Chicago. He was worship leader at the church there in Chicago. And when we found out we were going to be doing this cruise, I called quickly and said, are you interested in going on a cruise? And we're glad that he's going to be here. You'll see he's gifted by God to lead, even with a kid keyboard. I don't know what happened to the other one they said they're going to bring, but he's going to do well with this one we have. So let me open this up. Yes, thank you for coming, Mitch, this morning. We're glad that you're here. Let me open this up in prayer. Father, we do want to just acknowledge your presence this morning. We have Lord, this is a gift. This is a gift from you to be able to worship you here at the front of this boat in the observation lounge, with the beautiful water going by. And Lord, as we're going to be taking a look at what your word says about creation today, what an opportunity, what a gift we have. And so, Father, above everything else, above all that we've been blessed with, above all the neat things that are happening this week, we want to acknowledge that this is because of you. And Lord, we love you. We thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for us to make us your family, to make us forgiven, reconciled, at peace. And Father, we pray that what you've given us would be used by you through us to spread to more people on this ship, whether they be crew members, passengers, that the greatness of who you are would be revealed, not only in our study time, but through us as we just rest in the fact that you are good to us. And we acknowledge the fact that this trip is evidence of the fact that you're good to us. We love you. Thank you again for this opportunity. And we look forward to what you want to do this week. As we keep our eyes on you, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to tell you, I'm very, very excited about bringing this series of messages. And they are 7 brand new messages that I have never preached before. For a traveling preacher, that's a big deal. Because as a traveling preacher, I get to preach the same message in a lot of different places, and it's always new to them, you know? But for this series of messages, as I began praying after this, like I told you how the cruise came about, I began then saying, Lord, what do you want me to teach on then? You're setting this up. You have something in mind. And so I started thinking, should I teach on the shipwrecks of Paul? Then I thought, no, that probably wouldn't be well attended. And so then I thought, all right, Lord, what do you want me to do? And to be honest with you, people kept asking, okay, Jim, we got this cruise coming up. What are you going to be teaching on? And I had to say, I don't know. And so then while I was preaching on a preaching trip at a church in Palm Bay, Florida, we were singing during the worship time, and we were singing, How Great is Our God. Sing with me, How Great is Our God. And God said, sit down. And I sat down and literally wrote out the whole series of what the theme was going to be during that song, from the beginning of that song to the end. And God showed me what it was. And so what we're going to be looking at this week is the greatness of God as revealed through the whole Bible. We're going to be looking this morning at how creation declares the greatness of God. Tonight, we're going to be taking a look at how the law reveals the greatness of God and how the law is God's love letter to us. And a lot of people say, wait a minute, the Ten Commandments are a love letter? Come tonight and you will see that actually the Ten Commandments and the law of God is the love letter of God. It's going to just open your eyes to see how this is done. Also, the next session after that, we're going to be taking a look at the prophets and how the prophets reveal the law of the greatness of God, because our God is the only God who can tell you what's going to happen next. No other God can, because there are no other gods. And that's one of the ways that God reveals his greatness, is he actually tells us what's going to happen before it does, so that we can know that he's for real. We're going to look at that. And then we're going to take a look at the Psalms in the next session after that. We're going to take a look at, that one's entitled, Telling It Like It Is. And I'm going to surprise some of you probably. If you've never really looked at the Psalms, you're going to think that the Psalms are just, oh, well, praise God, praise God. No, actually, if you read the Psalms, you're going to see that sometimes the psalmist said, this stinks. I don't understand this. This hurts. God, kill him. It's actually all the way through. The neat thing about our God is this. He can take it when we speak the truth and how we really feel. And actually, you're going to see in that study, God wants us to tell him how we really feel. And from there, he can take us to where we need to be. But too many people think that to be a Christian is to put on a phony face. We're going to look at the Psalms and how our God is great, and he can actually take how we really feel, and he wants us to be honest. We're then going to go to the Gospels and how the Gospels reveal the greatness of God and how Jesus is God in the flesh. And I'm just going to give you a quick commercial for that one as well because of this. I want to show you that many Christians and probably many people in this room think that there are two gods. We all say, no, we believe in one God revealed in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I understand that. But many of you act in a certain way that show that you think there are actually two gods. We're going to take a look at how the Bible says that Jesus intercedes on our behalf, correct? You know, the Bible talks about that. But many people have this mindset that Jesus feels one way about us and God the Father feels another way, and that Jesus is interceding and telling God the Father to calm down their mind. That's impossible, because I want to show you when we get to that study that the Father and the Son are one and they can't feel differently. How Jesus feels is how the Father feels, and I can't wait to get to that study. We're then going to look at the epistles and how the letters to the churches reveal the greatness of God and how we are living in an incredible time, the church age, the year of the Lord's favor, the age of grace, and how many Christians are not enjoying the blessing that we've been given in the time that we're able to live. And then we're going to wrap up our study with the book of Revelation, and that's the message entitled, The Best is Yet to Come, and how God will dwell with men. We've always thought that we get to go be with God. I'm going to show you that the book of Revelation actually says at the very end, now the dwelling of God is with men. I don't know how many of you understand that God wants to be with you. And we're going to take a look at that. So by the end of the week, we're going to just see how awesome God is. And I hope that this is what happens for you as well. I can't wait to preach. I'm already trying to preach all seven right now. So let's just pray together that God would take us this morning. Father, again, we just simply acknowledge your presence, excited about what you want to show us. And Father, thank you that your word is alive and that you are going to be doing the teaching this morning. I thank you that you have shown me what you want me to say. I thank you that you have set aside the time that I could do the study. Lord, I thank you that you have shown me specifically some scriptures you want us to look at and how you want us to go at this. This is a big task to go through the whole Bible in seven sessions. But Lord, you are a great God, and what you're going to do today is going to be life-changing for us. And I pray that we first would even more come to understand how awesome you are. And then let it spread from there. We thank you for what's going to happen during this time. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, some of you are going to think we're going to go to Genesis 1:1. Not yet. We will. But right now, what I want you to do is go to Psalm chapter 19. Psalm chapter 19, we're going to look at verses 1 through 4. There's something that is happening in our world today, and it's kind of sad because it shows that we're missing what this passage is saying. Look closely what's happened. Look what it says. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. Look closely at what it's saying here. I don't want you to miss this. Here the psalm says this. The heavens, God's creation, declare God's glory. And not only that, day after day, creation pours forth speech of God's greatness and God's glory. Night after night, they display his knowledge. There is no speech or language. In other words, there's no place on the planet where his voice or the creation's voice is not heard about the greatness of God. You know what's happening in our day today? We go to work. We come home. We push the little button and the door opens on our garage. And then we pull in. We push the button again. The door closes down. We turn on our satellite TV and we go sit down and we live inside. We don't go out in creation very much anymore. We've learned how to live our lives in such a way that we avoid creation because it's hot or it's buggy or it's windy or it's cold or it's whatever. And what's happening to us is we have a tendency to actually miss out on a big part of how God is revealing himself to the world. And so I want you to see, as we're going to take a look today, I don't want you to miss this because God has designed to reveal who he is through creation. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Go to Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 23, and then verse 25. And by the way, as we go through, you're going to see I'm going to show a lot of scriptures to you. Write them down because you might not be able to keep up with me at times, and I want you to be able to go back and look them up yourself. But listen to Romans chapter 1, verses 18 and following. It says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. Look at verse 25. It says, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. Amen. What I want you to see here from this passage is this, is Paul says that, look, God has revealed himself through creation. Whether or not they understand who he is in the sense of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ and all that, as we're going to get to in a little bit, the fact is that the Bible says without question in Psalm 19, no language or speech on the planet has not had God reveal himself through his creation. Here it says all men are without excuse, that God exists because whether anybody has ever been a missionary or told the message of Jesus Christ to them, God has revealed himself to them. How? Through creation. Day after day it pours forth speech. Night after night it displays knowledge. Here, look at what Paul says here. It says, verse 20, since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that it's without excuse. In other words, you understand the Bible says that the only way you can honestly say that there's no God is to close your eyes, plug your nose, plug your ears, and hold your breath. Literally, that's what the Bible says. The only way you can honestly say there's no God is to close your eyes, plug your nose, plug your ears, shut your mouth, and hold your breath. God exists, and he's revealed it through creation. But I want to take you now to Genesis chapter 1 and show you how even more clearly God wants us to know that he exists, and he's decided to do that through creation. You all do realize that this book we have that we call the Bible is God's letter to us, right? Have you ever thought about how God started his letter to us? Look at how he starts his letter to us. It doesn't say, Dear Jim. It says, In the beginning, me. Doesn't it? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, we're not going to read all of chapter 1 through chapter 2, verse 3, but I want you to just look quickly with me as we just skim it. Because there's something about this first chapter of the book of the Bible that I want you to understand. And if you haven't ever done it, I want you to take the time later on to go back and highlight these. But actually, God says his name 32 times in the first chapter into chapter 2, verse 3. Look what it says. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. Look at verse 2. The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Verse 3, and God said. Verse 4, God saw. Verse 5, God called. Verse 6, God said. And then verse 7, God made the expanse. Verse 8, God called. In verse 9, God said. Verse 10, God called the dry ground land. And God saw that it was good. Verse 11, God said. Verse 12 at the very end of it. And God saw that it was good. And then in verse 14, God said. Then in verse 16, God made two great lights. In verse 17, God set them. Verse 18, the end of verse 18, God saw that it was good. Verse 20, God said. Further on in verse 21, God created. In the end of verse 21, God saw that it was good. Verse 22, God blessed them. Verse 24, God said. Verse 25, God made the wild animals. And then at the end of that verse, God saw that it was good. Verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image. Verse 27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Verse 28, God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Verse 29, God said, I'll give you every seed-bearing plant to eat. Then in verse 31, God saw all that he had made, that it was very good. Chapter 2, verse 2, God had finished, by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing, and he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work and creating that he had done. Do you think God's trying to get something across to us in the very beginning of this book? I did this. And what is he using to reveal himself? Creation. Folks, that's one of the most... We're actually living in a really blessed time. How many of you... I actually heard about this on the bus ride over here, the group of us that took the bus from the associational office come over to the port. How many of you have seen the IMAX movie about the Hubble telescope over there at Kennedy Space Center? See one... Two, not very many. You need to go see it. Because on the IMAX theater, a show there at the Kennedy Space Center, they took the Hubble telescope and they brought it to the space station to repair it. And they looked from the space station through the Hubble telescope out into the universe. It's unbelievable. I don't know if anybody of you ever heard of this man, a man named Louis Giglio. And he's got some DVDs that are out there on the greatness of God and how it's revealed through creation. He could explain it far better than I ever could and far better than many scientists can. Go find Louis Giglio's DVDs on the greatness of God as revealed through creation. He's got a couple of them. One about the greatness and the size of the universe. Another one about how small we actually are in comparison. Folks, I want you to understand something. God has desire to reveal himself through creation. I'm going to kind of prove this to you even a little bit more. In the book of Job, go to the book of Job. I want you to turn to verse chapter 38. In the book of Job, as you're turning to chapter 38, I want you to see something. For those of you that might not understand what's going on in the book of Job, I'll recap it for you. He has lost all of his possessions. He's lost his family. He's lost his health. And Job, at this point, even though he's been real faithful to still worship God through this, he comes to a place where he says, you know what? I don't understand, and I wish I had a chance to go face to face with God so that I could defend myself and state my case. And God answers his request. God shows up and meets with Job face to face. And God starts the conversation, you'll see it here, by saying to Job. Says, Job, I understand you want to have a face to face with me and ask me a few questions. I'll tell you what, I'll let you ask all your questions, but let me ask you a couple ones first. Once I've asked my questions, you can ask any question you want. Look at what happens here in chapter 38 of the book of Job. And I told you to turn there, and I didn't. All right, chapter 38, look at verses 1 through 7. Then the Lord answered Job out of the storm. He said, who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone? While the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. Now I'm going to stop here. We're going to continue in a little bit here. But what I want you to see is this. When God shows up and wants to defend himself, if you will, to Job, all he uses to reveal that he's God is what? Creation. Where were you when I laid the world? When I created the world and made the world and laid the footings, where were you? And then he goes on and asks him, if you follow on all the way from chapter 38 all the way to the end of where his discussion with Job happens in end of chapter 41, you'll see that God uses creation all the way through. Let me just read a little bit. Go to verse 8. Who shut up the sea behind its doors when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and wrapped it in thick darkness? When I fixed limits for it and set its doors and bars in place? When I said, this far you may come and no farther, here is where your proud waves halt. Have you ever given orders to the morning or shown the dawn its place, that it may take the earth by the edges and shake the wicked out of it? The earth takes shape like clay under a seal. Its features stand out like those of a garment. The wicked are denied their light and their upraised arm is broken. Have you journeyed to the springs of the sea or walked in the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death been shown to you? Have you seen the gates of the shadow of death? Have you comprehended the vast expanses of the earth? Tell me if you know all this. What's the way to the abode of light? And where does darkness reside? Can you take them to their places? Do you know the path to their dwelling? Surely you know, for you were already born. You have lived so many years. Have you entered the storehouses of the snow or seen the storehouses of the hail, which I reserve for times of trouble, for days of war and battle? And then he goes on, where's the lightning dispersed? All the way through. If you've never read it, take your time to go look. You'll see for 130 verses, God uses creation to defend the fact that he can be God and do whatever he wants with Job's life. Creation reveals the glory and the greatness of God. I want to challenge you this week. Go out on the outside decks a couple times. Go outside. Take a look at what's going on. Just look out your portholes if you have one of those rooms with a porthole, or go out on your balcony and spend some time just contemplating the vastness of this world that we live in. It's just amazing to me to think, as we sat here this morning, I looked out the porthole and we're over on the starboard. Is that the proper term? Starboard side. We were looking out. Supposedly we were passing by Key West. I couldn't see it. But it was just amazing to look out at all the water and how beautiful and blue it is. You ever thought about what holds it there? You ever thought about how heavy the earth actually is, just weighing the water, let alone all the concrete in the cities? Have you ever tried to carry a 5-gallon bucket of water? You ever tried to do that? Can you imagine how many 5 gallons of buckets of water are right now in the ocean that we're floating in? Can you even fathom how heavy this planet is? But it stays in place. I don't know who's out here today and whether or not you understand that there's a God, but if you don't, please just take the time to go look at this creation and this world that we live in, because God has decided to reveal himself through creation. All right, well, here's what I want to do in the last the time we have left. But not only has God revealed his greatness through creation, but I want us to, there's a lot of other things we could look at. If you've ever done any kind of a study on God's creation, how he reveals himself, there are people that are out there that are way more gifted than I at communicating these things. So I just said, Lord, what is it that you want me to show? How is it that you want me to kind of tie this together here? Yeah, we would all agree that you revealed your awesomeness through creation, and you've shown it in the book of Genesis, you've shown it in the book of Romans, you've shown it in the book of Job. What is it that you want me to show them? And this is what I believe God wants us to look at in the time that we have. God has chosen to reveal himself through creation. And not only that, as we're about to show you, God himself became a part of creation to reveal himself, in case we've missed it. I want you, don't miss what I just said. I want that to sink in. God has not only chosen to reveal himself through creation itself, but God has also chosen to become creation, become a part of creation. He's an uncreated being. He has always existed, but he's chosen to become a part of creation in case we missed it. Have you ever thought about that? I heard a story a long time ago where this man had stayed home on a cold, snowy night, and his family had gone out somewhere, and he was sitting home watching TV, and it was snowing, and it was cold out, and he kept hearing this knock at the door. So he go open the front door, and there was nobody there, and he shut the door, and he went back, sat down, and he started watching TV some more, heard a thump at the door again. So he got up and he opened the door and there wasn't anybody there. So he shut the door and he turned back the TV and then again, thump, heard another thump at the door. So he gets up and now he realizes something's going on. Someone's playing a prank with me. So he decides to look and of course no one's there. He shuts the door and then he goes to a window to watch. And he realized what was happening is these birds were seeing the light and sensing the heat and they were trying to fly through his door to come in. Because that's where the light was. They had one of those glass doors, and they kept flying into the door, and they were piling up dead on his front porch. They were killing themselves trying to get into the house. And so he then opened the door and tried to shoo them away, but they weren't listening. They kept trying to fly in and kept killing themselves. And in his frustration, he said, "Man, I wish I could become a bird for a second and tell them, quit doing this." And that's when it hit him. Isn't that what Jesus did? He became one of us to tell us, and also not only that, to be the one who would die for us. Let me show you how the Bible talks about that. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Look at verses 15 through 23. Now when it says he, it's talking about Jesus. It says he, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him, by Jesus, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He, Jesus, is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he's the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Now, there's a lot more here that we're not going to take the time to get into, but back in Romans chapter 1, Paul said that all of creation has had God reveal himself to them through his creation. His invisible qualities of divine nature have been clearly seen. He goes on in chapter 2 to say that even if they've never heard his written law, he placed his law in their hearts. Let me ask you a simple question. How many of you have ever done what you sensed in your heart was right or wrong? How many of you have ever broken that? We all have. Whether you ever heard the law of God or not, he's shown you you're a lawbreaker. That's what Paul says. And he then goes on to say that he'll judge all men's secrets through Jesus Christ, as his gospel declares. The Bible, you know, we sat around in Sunday school for years arguing over, what about those who have never heard? You ever been in those Sunday school classes? I believe the Bible says that there's no such person. I really believe the Bible says in Isaiah 55 that his word will go out on all the earth and will not return void. It'll accomplish everything that he set out for it to accomplish. I believe the Bible says that everybody hears, whether it's through a human speaking to him or God revealing himself and God speaking to them. The Bible says everyone hears. John chapter 6, verse 44. No one comes to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up on the last day. And what does verse 45 say? As it says in the prophets, they all will be taught by God. Whoever listens comes to me. The Bible, I believe, is very clear. Everybody hears. Not everybody listens. There's a big difference between hearing and listening. If you've ever had children, you know the difference. Right? They may hear you, but they don't listen. The Bible says everybody hears. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't believe the Bible teaches that everybody gets the same amount of drawing. I mean, let's be honest. How many of you had an audible voice and a blinding light knock you off your horse like Paul did? Me neither. And Jesus even said to the Capernaum, it'll be easier on the day of judgment for Sodom and Gomorrah than it will be for Capernaum, because Capernaum received more light. So we got to be honest and understand that in God's plan and how he works things out, not everybody gets the same amount of drawing, but I believe the Bible teaches this, that everybody hears, everybody sees, everybody has been revealed to them that God exists and is going to work out his plan of revealing himself through Jesus Christ. And we just saw here in Colossians chapter 1 that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Not only did he just say, I made creation, let him use that, he then himself came to reveal who God is by being creation himself. And I want to wrap up with one last section to illustrate this to you. Go to John chapter 1. See, a lot of you heard that when you're going to study the whole Bible, that it was going to be Genesis through Revelation in that order. No, we're going to jump all over the whole Bible to reveal the whole Bible because the whole Bible speaks as one big unit. In John chapter 1, look at verses 1 through 3, and then we're going to go to verses 10 through 18. Now, stick with me here. These are some very familiar passages, but I don't want you to kind of tune out because you think you've heard it. I'm about to show you a verse that I don't think many of you have ever really looked at in this section. John chapter 1, look at verses 1 through 3. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Now, who's the he talking about? We just read it in Colossians 1. It's Jesus. Jesus is the one who created. We saw that in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. He's the image of the invisible God. Through him, all things were made. Now, go jot down, and it becomes even more clear now. Look at verse 14. The Word became flesh, and he made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, John the Baptist, testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me. From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And look at verse 18. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. Look closely at this verse. It's really constructed, really kind of interesting. It says, no one's ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. Isn't that interesting? There's only one God, but the God that's at the side of God revealed God, is what it says. What? Let me say that one more time. No one's ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who's at the side of God, has made God known. Guess what? That's Jesus. That's why, do you remember back in Genesis? I skimmed it. God said, let us make man in our image. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit has always existed in three parts. He did not at one point become three parts. He's always existed as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But the Son, who has always existed, took on flesh, became a part of creation, to die for the sins of creation because mankind sinned. Man had to be punished for sin, but only a perfect man can be punished for sin. And the Bible says there's no such thing as a perfect man. No one's righteous, not even one. And God, the Bible says, before the creation of the world, even Ephesians chapter 1 says this, before the creation of the world had planned that he himself would become man, would become creation, and he would live the sinless life that we could not, and he would die for our sins, and he would rise from the dead to show that he is the one who we put our faith in. And the Bible says, if you'll believe that God exists and that he's revealed himself through Jesus Christ, he will give you eternal life. He'll give you forgiveness of your sins. He'll give you a right relationship with the Creator. And you can look people in the eye and say, I'm going to heaven when I die. But you've done bad stuff. I know. But it's been taken care of because God paid the price himself. Isn't that awesome? Folks, that's some good news. That's some great news. But here's the thing, we're going to look at it in more detail in one of our sessions later on when we get to the Gospels. Not only did God die for your sins and rise from the dead, in the time period before his death for your sins, he was on the earth revealing who he is. You want to know who God really is? What's he like? Well, look at creation. Do you want to know who God really is and what's he really like? Start reading the Gospels and find out who Jesus is, because the exact representation of the Father is Jesus Christ, because they're the same. Now, to keep me from preaching that message before we're supposed to get there, I'm just going to stop. But for this morning, I think this is where we need to just kind of draw this to a close. Folks, we're going to be all together this whole week. I'm not going to be giving altar calls and people want to come forward or anything like that. We're going to be together throughout this week. If God is speaking to anybody, if there's people here that have just kind of straggled in and we don't think you accidentally straggled in, if you're here today and you want to trust Jesus as your Savior, come see me. Come see one of the people that have the red staff thing on them, or talk to somebody else here. There's plenty of people here that know Jesus as their Savior, and they would love to tell you how to know him. But for today, let's just let this truth sink in, and let's go outside and let God's creation speak of his greatness. And then as you do, think about the fact that now God not only left creation itself to reveal himself, he became creation himself to reveal himself. And that makes me want to shout. Father, thank you. Thank you so much for what you've done. Thank you for the fact that we can just go outside and see your glory. Lord, at the same time, everything points to you and your plan to reveal yourself through Jesus Christ. We didn't have time to even go there and take a look at it, but in Psalm 19, it goes on to say how the sun rising in the morning is a picture of the bridegroom coming. Oh, Father, there's so much here in this book you've given us that shows us of your greatness. We sang today how creation sings of your splendor and your greatness. May we be a part of that. We're part of your creation as well. May we too sing of your greatness. And Lord, one of the ways that we can sing of your greatness is to not worry. One of the ways that we can sing of your greatness is to not fear. One of the ways we can sing of your greatness is to not have anxiety, but to have peace, to trust that you really are in control and that you're good. You've proved that through Jesus Christ already. So Lord, I pray for anybody here that's being drawn by your Spirit, that they would not only hear, but listen and trust you as their Savior today. And Father, may we who already have trusted you as our Savior worship you because of this. In your name we pray. Amen. Thanks for coming. We'll see you at 5 o'clock tonight, Stardust Lounge.